Hello and welcome back to Neely's Bend Baptist Church's Sermon Archive. I'm Austin Jones, the pastor here at Neely's Bend Baptist Church in Madison, Tennessee, and I'm so grateful you've taken the opportunity to listen to our sermons here at Neely's Bend. At Neely's Bend, our mission is that we want to equip people with the gospel so they can live in worship of God and one another fellowship and on mission by making disciples. My hope is that these sermons from Neely's Bend Baptist Church will encourage you with the gospel to live on mission and one another fellowship and in worship of God. If you have any questions about the gospel or Neely's Bend Baptist Church, please feel free to email us at nbbc@neelysbendbaptist.org. Thanks, and we hope you have a great week.
This morning, if you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. We're going to continue in our series of 2 Timothy. We have this sermon and two more sermons, and then at the end of that, we'll begin a sermon series through prayer. And so, as you're turning there, as you're making your way there, we'll begin in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 17. The Word of God says this. I'm still in James. There we go. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Then verse 16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you this morning, Lord. And as we prayed earlier, we're so grateful for the word that you've given us, Lord. And we're so grateful even now for the very word that you've given us. And we know that it is coming from you, that you are the one who has breathed out this word to us. And for that, we're so grateful. God, this morning as we come to the preaching of your word, we just pray that you will clear our minds of all distractions and help us to focus on you, Lord. And God, I just pray that even now you're already working in our hearts and convicting us and stirring us up, Lord, to live for you, Lord, and to live out what your word is teaching us today. God, we pray all this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. How many of you have heard the story or read the little book, The Little Engine That Could? Right? I would say just about every single one of us here have read this book. I remember having this book read to me as a child, and even now we read it to our daughter, and we'll be reading it to our son at some point in the future. But I'm certain that just about every single one of us have read this book or had this book read to us because it was published in 1930. Okay? This is a really old book, so I know that many of you have read this story, and we all know how the story goes, right? There's a red train that's pulling these toys, trying to get over the mountain to get the toys to the kids. And then as the train is going, the train breaks down. It can't get over the mountain. And so he's sitting there, and then another train comes by and says, "Hey, will you help me get over the mountain?" "No, I can't help you." Another train comes, "Will you help me get over?" "No, I won't get you." Another one comes, "I can't help you." And then the little blue engine shows up, a switch engine, right? It's not the most powerful engine there is. It's just a small little engine. And he says, "Yeah, I think I can." So he hooks up and he begins to pull the train of toys over the mountain. And as he's making his way over, he says, "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can." And as he goes over the mountain, he gets to the other side and he says, "I thought I could, I thought I could, I thought I could." The story has a theme of perseverance and enduring, doesn't it? Continuing onward. the little blue train was optimistic, and he believed in himself and that he was able to get those toys over the mountain. He continued to go, he continued to believe in himself. Now, as people, we do need to have a confidence in ourselves to be able to do things, don't we? We need to have a sense of believing in ourselves to be able to accomplish things, to be able to do our job well, to be able to continue in whatever it is that we are doing in this life. But also, we cannot place our full hope, we cannot place our full belief in ourselves as the little blue engine did. Because there will come a time in which we will let ourselves down. There will come a time in which we can't. There will come a time in which we are not strong enough. Well, there will be a time in which this world is persecuting you so much that you just don't want to continue. When suffering just feels so unbearable and you just can't go on. Church, I've titled this sermon today, Continue in Belief. But the very thing we must not believe in is ourselves. It must not be some other person. It must not be some other thing of this world. The very thing we must continue to believe in is God alone. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, because He alone is the only one that can help us. We cannot help ourselves. You may have heard the phrase before, God only helps those who help themselves. You ever heard that before? No? In church, that's a lie straight from the pits of hell. I want you to know that. Because God helps those who can't help themselves. Right? God helps those who cannot help themselves. We are all helpless without God. We are hopeless without God. We desperately need Him. And we desperately must continue in belief of God and His holy word, because He is our help and He is our hope. And when we do that, we will endure. We will keep the faith and we will continue onward. Church, our passage today teaches us that we will face persecution. And in order to endure that persecution, we must continue in the belief that the Lord will rescue us. Why? Because He knows we can't help ourselves. But not only is persecution something we have to worry about, but as we've seen all over the passages of 2 Timothy, false teachers are preaching false gospels and bad theology, and we must continue to believe only in the sacred writings of God's word that God has given us. So therefore, in our sermon today, we're going to see two reasons to continue in belief. Two reasons why we can continue in belief. And the first reason that we see, we can continue to believe because the Lord rescues us from persecution. The Lord rescues us from persecution. Paul, in verse 10, here he starts and he's writing to Timothy and he says, "You, Timothy, you are not like the false teachers. You are not like those who have deserted me. Why? Because you, Timothy, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings. You have followed me through all of that," Paul says. You can almost see the tears in Paul's eyes as he's saying this, how much he cares and how much he loves young Timothy, because he knows that Timothy has followed a good example. In a day, especially in Paul's day and Timothy's day, when so many people were following bad theology, bad teachings, bad examples, Paul was overjoyed that Timothy was following him, that Timothy was keeping up with him. What an example Paul was to Timothy, right? In church, Timothy saw everything of Paul. He saw the good things, he saw the bad things, he saw the great things, he saw the hard things. And in ways we don't even know, it helped Timothy to continue being a follower of Jesus. I think there is a lesson for us here to learn today. I think it goes to show that we need a Paul in our lives, and we need a Timothy in our lives. I've heard many pastors over the years say, and I completely agree with them, that Christians need someone pouring into their lives, and they need someone else they can pour into. Part of living in one another fellowship as a church is having someone pour into you as you pour into someone else. So I encourage you today, no matter how old you are, find someone to pour into your life. Meet with them regularly. Ask them good questions. Let them into your life. Listen to how they endured their own persecutions, their own suffering, their own tragedies, their own trials. Read God's word together. And I also encourage you, no matter how old you are, how young you are, find someone to pour into. To pour into. Meet with them regularly. Ask them good questions. Teach them things that you've been taught over your life. Let them into your life. Let them see the good things. Let them see the bad things. Let them see the hard things, the struggles of life. Share with them the persecutions you've endured. Share with them the all that's happened, all that God has taught you as you pour into someone's life. Paul writes in Titus 2 that older men and women should be teaching and training younger men and women. It gives us a picture of what a church should look like. I would love nothing more for us to be a Titus 2 church, a church in which older men and women are pouring into the lives of younger men and women, no matter the age difference. Paul continues in verse 10, and he tells us where all the persecutions happened. Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, right? And then he goes on in verse 11. I think I have it here. I hope I have it here. No, I don't. It's fine. In verse 11, he says, "Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me." Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. From all his persecutions, from all his sufferings, the Lord rescued him. Paul endured because the Lord was there with him. He wasn't going through those persecutions saying, "I think I can, I think I can, I think I can." He went through those persecutions saying, "I believe, I believe, I believe that the Lord is going to rescue me." He knew he couldn't rely on himself to get himself through those persecutions. He knew he couldn't rescue himself. He knew he needed a savior, a rescuer. He knew and he believed that the Lord would rescue him. And the Lord did. You read in the book of Acts and you see countless times in which Paul was persecuted and endured sufferings, and every time the Lord was there to rescue him. One time Paul was stoned so badly that the people thought he was dead and dragged him out of a city and left him laying there, but yet the Lord rescued him. He didn't pass away. He continued to live, and we ended up getting the book of 2 Timothy. All because the Lord rescued him. Church, we see God rescuing people who desire to live a godly life from persecution throughout all of the Bible. I'm reminded of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? Who refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar when the music sounded. They were thrown into the fiery furnace that was heated 7 times hotter than what it was supposed to be, killing the 2 men that threw them in there. But yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were walking around in the fire. They come out of the fire, not a hint of smoke was on them. I'm reminded of Daniel, who was thrown in the lion's den for refusing to pray to King Darius. And the lions never touched him. I'm reminded of David, the anointed future king of Israel, running for his life from King Saul. Yet the Lord continually rescued and provided for David. Church, verse 12 teaches that all who desire to live a godly life will be persecuted. We need to understand that. We need to know that. Every single one of us, if you desire to be a Christian, if you desire to live a godly life, if you are a Christian, you are going to, at some point in your life, face persecution. What it looks like, how it happens, I'm not so sure. But you will know when it comes. And when this persecution comes, it's going to be hard, it's going to be challenging, it's going to be painful, it's not going to be fun, it's not going to be enjoyable, and you're not going to want to continue. But you must remember, and you must continue to believe that the Lord will rescue you from the persecution. And church, I know that persecution today here in the States is nothing like that of Paul's time, right? We don't endure and go through persecution like Paul did, or like people or Christians in Nigeria are going through at this point in time there. But persecution is still a very real thing for us. People mock us, people make fun of us, people talk bad about us. People want us to believe different things because they think that's the right thing, right? And when all that comes, we must endure not by our own power, but by the power of the Lord. Because we know that He is going to rescue us. And church, our rescue, it may not be in the immediate. It may not come right away. It may not come when we want it to come. We may even suffer death as Christ did, as so many of the disciples did, as so many martyrs of all them, all the martyrs of the faith. Our rescue may come when the Lord calls us home. Romans 8:18 says, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us." The sufferings, the persecutions of this world, church, are nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing in comparison to the glory of Christ, to the glory of eternal life in heaven. We will continue to believe and know that the Lord will rescue His people. As we move forward to our next reason to continue believing, one of the ways in which the Lord helps us through the persecutions and through the sufferings is by His very word. So the second reason, I don't know why this clicker clicks two times. I ain't figured it out yet. But anytime you press the button, it goes twice. And I don't know why. I ain't figured it out, but it's frustrating me. But that is okay. But the second reason we see in our passage today to continue in belief is that the Lord equips His people by His word. The Lord equips us by His word. Have you ever started a job that you knew nothing about or knew very little about? I know that in my life I've had that happen a few times. I remember when I worked as a carpenter, I knew how to swing a hammer. I knew how to use a nail gun, right? But as far as framing a house and framing out windows and framing out doors and putting up a roof and doing the decking on the roof and all that stuff, I knew nothing about. I didn't know how to do it. If you'd asked me to build your house, it would have fell apart in 2 days, okay? All right, because I was ill-equipped on how to build a house, on how to do carpentry work, and it wasn't until I was taught that I was equipped to be a good carpenter. I know that many of you have probably been through something very similar for your own job. Maybe it was becoming a parent for the first time, right? How many of y'all felt ill-equipped to be a parent when you had your first child? Yeah, every single one of us, right? We're all rookies. We don't know what we're doing. We're just trying to wing it. We're unequipped. And then as we grow and being a parent, we become more equipped to do it. The same can be said about when I first became a Christian. I grew up in church. I knew that being a part of Christian or being, I knew that part of being a Christian was doing what was right, treating others the way I was supposed to be treated. you know, all the kind of basic things, love others as you love yourself, all that, right? But there was so much that I didn't know, right? There's so much that I did not know about how to be a Christian, how to pray, that I was supposed to share the gospel with others, how to share the gospel with others, that I was supposed to grow in grace and knowledge of God's word and understanding of Jesus by reading his word and studying it daily. I was ill-equipped in many ways to be a Christian, right? And the reality is, every single one of us, when we first became a Christian, that's how our life began as Christians. We were truly unequipped on how to be a Christian, how to live the Christian life. Some of you felt like that in your own life. Maybe even you feel like that even now. But church, verse 17 teaches us that the way in which we are equipped is by God's word. The way in which we are equipped to live for God and his very purpose is his very word alone. The way in which we are equipped to endure every struggle, endure every persecution, endure every suffering we face is by God's holy word. One of the reasons we do a Bible reading plan throughout the year, and why I encourage you so often to read the Bible for yourself daily and study it for yourself, is so that you can be equipped for all of life. Because there's going to come a time in your life when life is going to knock you square in the face, right? It's going to hit you. You're going to be faced with something you've never faced before. You're going to have to go through something of the hardest days of your life. And you will be able to endure because you've been feasting on the Word of God. Daily reading the Bible and studying it isn't just a checklist. It's a meal that's meant to fill you up. We don't have a habit of eating, right? No, we eat because we get hungry. We don't eat out of habit. We eat because we need food. Church, we need to eat the word of God because we need it every single day of our lives. We desperately need it. Because we know that God's word is preparing us to face the world in the days ahead. And when we know that the Bible is going to equip us to face anything that's coming towards us, coming at us, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pick it up. You're going to read it. You're going to study it. You're going to want to know more about it. The word complete here in verse 17 can also be understood as thorough. The man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Completely equipped, thoroughly equipped. Paul in the Greek, he puts actually a little bit more emphasis on the word here because he wants his readers to know that God's word is sufficient and can thoroughly, completely equip them for all of life and godliness. But church, why is it so important? Why is this very word right here so important, and why can it equip you for all of life and for all of godliness? The answer is because it's God's very own words. I'm reminded of verse 16 here. I'm going to let you click over because it's going to go two slides. So go to verse 16 for me. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Church, God's word equips because it is the very words of God. You hear me? God's word equips us because it's God's very own words, and these words are good for you. They are for our good. They are profitable for us. They benefit us. They make us thoroughly equipped. There is so much that I want to say about this verse. I want you to know that from the right now. There's so much that I want to say about this verse. I read a quote this week that said, church, if I was to preach the sermon tomorrow or something like that, it would be an hour and a half to 2 hours long, but I don't have that much time, so I've got to take a lot of things out, okay? Right? That's part of the preacher's job, is to take out so much stuff and figure out on the most important things. And it's a really hard thing to do. But I could do a whole sermon, maybe even a couple more sermons, just on verse 16 alone. Because there's so much here. But church, this Bible has many authors. From Old Testament to New Testament, it has about 40 authors. It spans across 1,500 years, more than that. But it only has one divine author. Every single word of this Bible was God-breathed, God-inspired. Every single time ink was put to paper, God was the one directing it all. And this is incredibly important because, church, we know that since the fall of man, in the Garden of Eden, man is not what? Perfect. Man is mistake-prone, sinful. Therefore, if this word wasn't divinely breathed out by God, then this word would be full of what? Mistakes, bad ideas, bad teachings. But because God is the divine author, this word is perfect. It is without error. It is without mistake. And it is infallible in that it will accomplish what it says it's going to do. And we can completely trust it because it's not man's words, it's God's words. We can completely rely on it. We can know that when we read it and when we study it, that we can believe it, that we can trust it, and we can know that it's going to thoroughly equip us. God's word, let's go to the next slide here. God's word is good for our souls. God's word is good for our soul because it's God's very words to us. I'm about to give up on this thing. God's word is good for our souls because it's God's very words to us. So let that sink in for a moment. If you know something's good for you, you're going to what? You're going to partake in it, right? So let's partake in God's word. So good that this word, that it is profitable for us. It's profitable for teaching us how to live for His glory and His purposes. It's profitable in that it reproves us. It confronts us. It shows us our errors and our failures. It is profitable because it corrects us. Not only does it show us our wrongs, it corrects us and helps us to correct our wrongs and live rightly before God. And lastly, it is profitable for training in righteousness. As believers who have been saved because of Jesus' righteousness, we should be seeking to live righteous as He is. And you know what? We don't have to do it on our own. We don't have to figure it out on our own. Because we have God's very word to train us in righteousness. But as we continue to kind of work backwards here, we also read that the sacred writings, God's word, is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Church, God's word, this Bible, is a book of salvation. You hear me? It's a book of salvation. From Genesis 1 to Revelation 20, it's a story of God saving His people and showing them in which the way is to live and how they can be saved. It's a redemption story with Jesus as the main character. The Old Testament points us forward to Jesus. The New Testament points us back to Jesus' death on the cross, and it points us forward to Jesus' return. This book is for us, and it's about Jesus and the salvation He gives. We read in verse 15 that this book, there it is, sorry to bear. Verse 15, that this book is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. To be clear, this book can't save you, right? No, this book can't save you, but it can point you to the one who can, and the one who will. Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you are here and you've never repented of your sins and you've never believed in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord of your life, I want you to know that you can respond today to God's very word and to the gospel call and believe in Him as Savior and Lord of your life. And if this is a decision that you would like to make, I would love nothing more than to have a conversation with you and talk about what it means to follow Jesus and how the Word of God can make you wise for salvation through Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ Jesus. Church, I just want to come back to the main thrust of the sermon today. Continue in belief. We know that God has given us His Word to be profitable for us, to equip us for every good work. We know that God's word has made us wise for salvation, and it is because of these things that we can continue in belief. We can continue in belief because God's word is going to completely equip us. We can continue in belief because God's word is profitable to us. We can continue in belief because God's word has made us wise for salvation. It is why Paul tells Timothy in verse 14 and 15, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned, and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it." He goes on in verse 15 and says, "And how from childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Paul is simply telling Timothy to continue in belief because God has given him His word. Church, when life gets hard, when sufferings come, when persecution happens, when tragedy strikes, when it feels like your world is crashing down on you, when you hit rock bottom, when you're lost in addiction and whatever it may be, continue in belief of God's holy word. And it will equip you to get through whatever you're going through in life. It will help you. And that is good for you. When it feels hard to pick up God's word, I encourage you to pick it up anyway. Begin reading it. If you don't know where to begin, just open it up and start somewhere. Just start somewhere. People always say, I don't know where to start. Just start somewhere. There's no bad book. Okay? I want you to know that. There's no bad books. You may end up in one of the, and so-and-so begot, but you'll eventually get out of it, and you'll end up somewhere a little bit more joyful, right? But there's no bad book. Just pick it up and begin reading the Word of God. Open it up. Know that it's profitable for you. Know that it will teach you. Know that it will prove you. Know that it will correct you and that it will train you in righteousness and that it's going to equip you for every good work. Church, I exhort you to feast on the Word of God. Read it often. Study it. Cherish it. Memorize it. Meditate on it. And share with others what God has taught you in His Word. In our sermon today, we've seen two reasons why we can continue in belief. We can continue in belief because God rescues us from persecution and because God equips us with His Word. Church, I'm reminded of John 15. And Jesus is teaching about how He is the vine and we are the branches, and how we as His followers are to abide in Him. And in verse 5 of John 15, He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing." One of the ways in which we can abide in Christ is by daily reading His word. Knowing it. When we daily abide in Christ By continuing belief, we will know that the Lord will rescue us in persecution. And by continuing to believe and read God's word, we will know that God was going to equip us for every good work. And instead of saying, I think I can, we will live our lives going, I believe, and I trust that He is for me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come to you this morning, Lord, and we're just so grateful for this word that you've given us and how it's so good for us and how it's good for our souls, it's good for our lives, how it equips us for every good work, how it equips us for every suffering, every persecution, every tragedy, every hard and challenging time in life, how it equips us even for the good things in life. How to respond to every situation, every circumstance. God, I pray this morning that we will be a people that feasts on your word daily, every single day of your life, of our lives, Lord. We will go to your word, we'll read it, we'll study it, we'll memorize it, we'll meditate on it, that we will see the value of it, that we will know that it's good for our souls, and we'll pick it up. And we'll read it. God, we just thank you once again for Jesus dying on the cross and being the rescue that we so needed. God, we were lost and helpless and couldn't help ourselves. But you in your kindness, you in your goodness, you in your grace and mercy sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And God, this morning we are eternally grateful for you sending your son Jesus to be our Savior. God, we pray all this in His holy and precious name. Amen.